Living for Christ by Mrs. E. G. White, circa 1903. Man sinned, and death is penalty of sin. Christ bore the penalty and secured for man a period of probation. In this time of probation, we are now living. We have been given an opportunity to prove our loyalty to Him who gave His only begotten Son, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is testing us. He entrusts us with talents to see whether we will be thoroughly unselfish in the use we make of them. Physical, mental, and spiritual gifts are placed in our possession, and on the use that we make of these gifts depends our eternal destiny. God's word tells us plainly, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Luke 16, verse 10 and 12. God expects us to use His gifts in a way that will give us an increased knowledge of things of heaven. We are to make constant improvement, daily becoming purer, nobler, more refined. In this world, men and women are to fit themselves to take their place among the nobility of heaven. In this world, they are to prepare for translation to the courts above. Here, Christians are to be examples of what, through the grace of Christ, all must become who enter the holy city. Here we are to learn Christ's meekness and lowliness, cooperating with Him, wearing His yoke and bearing His burden. Our lives are to reveal His attributes. Thus we are to work out our own salvation, knowing that God is working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. We are not our own, to do with ourselves as we please. We have been bought with a price, and we are to obey the law of God's kingdom. We are to reach the high standard that God has placed before us. Through the infinite sacrifice made in our behalf, we can in this world live pure, holy lives, carrying out the principles of the kingdom of heaven. The word of God does not repress activity, but guides it aright, pointing us to a work that, if faithfully done, will make us worthy of the immortal inheritance. God knows exactly what each one needs to fit him for heaven. He puts the Bible into his hands, a treasure that is not to be ignored or cast aside as of not special importance. "Search the Scriptures," Christ says, "for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." John 5, verse 39. The Word of God tells man how he may become an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Knowing that it is man's nature to accumulate and amass, God in His Word reveals to him the unsearchable riches, a treasure the worth of which cannot be estimated. Knowing that man's strongest impulse is to stand on vantage ground before all, God points out to him an ambition that he may safely cherish. "I will make a man more precious than fine gold," he says, "even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir." Isaiah 13, verse 12. That man may obtain the life which measures with the life of God, the Lord breaks up his worldly, ambitious projects, which, if permitted to engross the mind, would unfit him for the future world. Those who do not value their high calling, those who do not strive to fulfill God's purpose for them, who fail of fulfilling the conditions laid down in His Word, cut themselves off from God. They prove themselves to be entirely unfit to serve the interests of their Master. They may profess to be Christians, but their lives are a dishonor to Christ. They are serving the enemy, and God cannot cooperate with them. Their defects of character are constantly increasing. How can the Lord work with them? How can He place responsibilities in their hands? How can He entrust His work to men whose hands and hearts are not consecrated to His service? In all that we do, we are to seek the glory of God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but if the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans 8, verse 8 to 11.